The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Into the land of civilization came Nyarlathotep, slender and sinister,
and gave exhibitions which sent his spectators away speechless.
Men advised one another to see him and shuddered.
Where he went, rest vanished, for the small hours were rent with the screams of nightmare.
It was in the hot autumn that I went through the night with the restless crowd.
I saw hooded forms amidst ruins, and I saw the world battling against blackness.
I screamed aloud.
I was not afraid.
That I could never be afraid.
And others screamed with me for solace.
Beyond the world vague ghosts of monstrous things.
Corpses of dead worlds with sores that were cities. Charnel winds that brush the pallid stars.
And through this revolting graveyard of the universe, the muffled, maddening beating.
The crawling chaos.
Masks of Nyarlathotep. Configurations in mutation.
I'm going to run to the window because you said there was some clanging on the fire escape?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll check that out.
As you run to the window, you happen to see, roll me, I want a perception, but you don't have perception in this game.
Spot hidden?
Yeah, go ahead and roll me spot hidden.
Pass.
You see, three forms. Two of them, Jasmine wants you to know to tick your skill. You see three forms, one of them in the alleyway, two of them still making the last rounds down the bottom of the fire escape. They appear to be dressed in shabby suits. Two of the men are black, one of them is white. They appear to be wearing a Rambo-esque bandana around their head. You can't tell what it is at this range, but it's kind of a bright red, so it's kind of noticeable. It's got a weird, almost like ponytail hanging in front of their face. They appear to be carrying some sort of bizarre, three-bladed weapon that is leaving a blood trail in the snow. They're running towards a...
It's a Naginata.
It is not a Naginata. you see a 1915 Hudson Roadster sitting there as they all begin to pile into it.
I'll, like, yell out...
Ring, 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 ring.
For police, ring, ring. Bloody murder, out the window.
Sure. You begin screaming.
Can I hear him from the lobby? Scream out the upstairs window.
Probably not.
We can confirm that Jackson's dead.
You're going to go over to the body?
Yeah, I mean, like, because you said he was dead.
He has been gutted like a fish.
Right.
You go over and take a look at him. What's your first aid again?
40.
I'm going to say that that's good enough to know he is dead. He's only been dead probably 5 or 10 minutes.
Then I'll go answer the phone.
Okay. Your phone finally rings. Hello, Mr. Elias?
We kicked in the door. Jackson's dead. Assailants went out the window. And I'll hang up.
You just see the bellhop just kind of like open mouth gape.
Do I go outside or do I go upstairs?
I don't know. We must. And you see him hang up the phone and he picks it up and he starts calling. He's like, yes, please send the police. There's apparently been a murder at the Hotel Chelsea.
Did I hear him calling through the very loud old style phone?
Probably a little bit. You got the sense of what's going on. What are you doing, Cecil?
I was watching the hallway to make sure no one else, like, stopped us from breaking into this room, but...
No, he pretty much did it very effectively.
Does that mean I can run outside?
Sure.
Okay.
When you run outside, you see some traffic. You hear some squealing of tires from down the alley. Make me a luck roll.
You better make it or you're going to get hit by the car.
Fail.
Did you botch?
Nope.
Because I really like the idea of being hit by a car.
Okay, David did my character that once, and I was so mad I didn't talk to him for like 2 days.
The yellow ones don't stop.
Make a luck roll. They crash into your car.
Okay, well, that's a 55. So
you see a black roadster speeding off in the distance. You don't get a license plate. It doesn't head towards you. You can't identify the drivers. That's what you've got.
Turn the lights on?
Sure. Absolutely. We now get to have some fun.
Chase rules.
You fucked up the chase rules already. They're in there. You fucked it up already. Mm. I had the pulp rules going as well. Are you entering the room?
What's going on in there?
Roll Sam, please. That's a 93. So give me that D4 plus one.
Four.
That's five.
Yay!
What's your sand?
50.
It's 10%.
Isn't it five in a single go, though?
Yeah.
Yep.
At least it's early.
I know. I was like, whoa.
I didn't lose any sand last time.
I didn't expect that.
I was fine in Peru.
No, I was like, what do I do? What do we do here? I didn't expect that.
Isn't that because this one isn't in the book?
This sand roll isn't in the book, but I think since he's eviscerated, I think it's fair.
That makes sense.
That's why you don't know what to do. It's not in the damn book.
Give me an idea roll, Lucas. You'd like to fail this one.
Shoot, what is my idea? I forget what that's
on. Very top. Top.
It's your ant.
No, it's ant. That's right. Sorry. It's written very small under ant.
It's a 40.
Pass that.
Sweet.
He said you wanted to fail, right?
Hard pass.
Roll me a d10.
Oh, God.
It's a 4. That's for the chart.
Okay. So, you see, you walk it. He walks in. Have you come up now, because I assume you're coming in.
Sure.
Roll me that sand, please. Because I just want to give it to everybody. Let's just get this started on a good...
Sam hell is... That's a fail.
Roll me that d4 plus one.
Dang it.
Did you get the 5-2?
You betcha.
Roll me that idea roll.
I'm just like ready to draw on either one of these morons. It's like...
That's a pass.
Okay. Roll me a d10. I'm going to take narrative control here. This is fantastic. Of all the things that I expected to happen, this was not it.
Eight.
Okay. So you're going to have this to deal with. So what happens is you all walk in, and by the way, HPLHS, I love this. Here is the crime scene photo of Jackson Elias.
Ah!
It's awesome.
I don't text him.
I'm going to have nightmares. Thanks.
Oh, there's a lot of this stuff, so be prepared,
Jasmine.
Can
we stop playing this at night?
Don't piss off cultists.
They cut the Batman symbol into his head.
It's kind of a Batman symbol.
Kind
of. I can see why you
would
say that.
Symbol.
It looks like almost like a bite.
So anyway, let's just narrate what happens as you all sort of see this. You step into the room. He runs to the window. You answer the phone. You turn around. The lights get flicked on. He walks in and goes, "What in the hell is going?" And all of a sudden, Cecil just starts going, "We're all gonna die. We're all gonna die, guys. They came for us. This is the Karasiri. They came for us. They came for us. They came for us." And he like turns and starts running out of the room where he happens to run into Sybil. And he grabs her and is like, "They're coming for us!" And starts shaking her.
This is all normal for you, by the way.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I think nothing of it.
She turns and she's like, "What happened?" And she sees him and just bursts out crying and collapses next to the door. So the two of you are standing around watching him go into complete paranoid shock. She is bawling her eyes out. And, I really like the picture. I'm sorry it disgusts you, Jasmine. It's a gorgeous photo. It's really well done.
Yes.
Props to HPLHS.
Give me about 30 minutes. I'll take a look.
I thought they were going to do the picture of the whole body.
You all start going, so you guys are dealing with that. You begin to see people, doors are now being opened down the hallway. What's going on? People start rushing into the room. You have a few moments. Would you like to consult either of you two hardy investigators? Would you like to look about the room?
Please
would you
be that far off.
Yes, but response time is still going to be several minutes.
Snow.
Fair. Yeah, the snow is an issue.
What would you two like to do since you're the only ones in control of your characters at the moment?
I'd probably ask Owen, like, Owen, what'd you see? Because I have no idea what was out there.
Three men jumped into a car, ran away. They had some kind of weapon and weird, I don't know, masks or something.
Make me a D100 roll, Owen.
16.
Ooh, very good. You know what those are.
I know what the weapon is?
Yes, it is a panga.
Penga.
Okay.
It is a wicked African tribal throwing axe, kind of. They're fucking nasty looking. If you look at them, they're like literally bladed on, like they've got, there are a couple different ones. You can look them up online, but they're bladed in like two or three different ways, but the blades curve and they've got the barbs in them. So if, say, you were to throw them and hit a target, not only is it going to severely injure them going in because it's a heavy axe, you better be careful pulling it out, because when you pull it out, you're going to tear the fuck out of whatever it went into.
It's like a saw blade.
So I'll give that to you because you're good. Go ahead and tick anthropology. I'll give that to you. There are a couple different names. You can find them. I was actually Googling it last night.
Apparently, Pinga is also the, can you spell that?
I was going to look up. It's got a couple of different names because I think it is. There's a lot of African culture that gets lost in translation because many of the major African cultures didn't write it down. So it's known by a lot of different names. In this book, they call it an African throwing knife, or a Penga, P-I-N-G-A. Or a Kulbeda, K-U-L-B-E-D-A. They have a lot of different styles and stuff available online for sale, so I'm going to imagine that it's something that has also been disseminated amongst the cultures over time. But it is a nasty-looking motherfucker.
It almost is like, I don't know if this is right.
That's a type of one. That's more like a machete type thing. Apparently, they call a couple of different things. If you look up, like, African throwing axe...
I'd say the majority of everything that showed up for like Penga weapon is almost a very machete like.
Look up Penga, P-I-N-G-A. Is mm-hmm. that what you looked up?
No.
I didn't. And it comes up with a bunch of Indian people dancing.
I did see that. You have to search like Penga African axe or something like that. Once you do that, then you get a bunch of eBay links to like the weapons.
The one that you were finding with that flouted head, that's a different style of axe, but mm-hmm. it's also common.
Like that?
Yes.
Let me see.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, okay.
It almost looks like a...
It almost looks like antlers.
Like a Klingon weapon.
Yeah, like it's... It's there are a couple different styles. If you start looking, there are different styles. But apparently this was something that you would throw into somebody and then pulling it out would just like... Yeah, it just rips and tears.
You twist.
The images in the book that I can't really show you... They like have barbs on them, so like I said, as you pull out, it's like a fish hook. It just rips.
Yeah.
So you have a few moments. If there's anything in particular you'd like to do, inspect the body, look about the room,
yeah.
Try and calm somebody.
I would probably be like, Owen, is there anything you can do about them while I take a look around the room and the body? I don't know how good your investigation skills are.
Do about what?
Do you have anything to like settle them?
Oh, I'll go up to Sybil and slap her.
Make me a strength roll.
The good news is he has really bad strength.
I know.
I know I have bad strength, and I know she's tough. So
it's probably all right.
I failed.
Just a light slap.
I like the idea. I like the idea that you hit her and she hits you back. She's like, "Damn it, man! This is serious. He's dead."
I like the idea of her, like, Matrix reaction just from, like, the fighting, that where he, like, swings at her and she's just like...
The room has been, I guess I should say this, the room has been ransacked. The bed's flipped over, tables and chairs are knocked over, sheets, paper, everything's flying in the breeze, the snow is coming in lightly, getting the floor wet, it is nasty.
Eustace is probably looking for anything related to what we think he was going to talk to us about.
Somebody roll me a d6.
Four.
Is the window broken?
No.
I will close the window.
You find a photograph of some junks.
Cool.
Some what?
Junks.
They're junk boats. They're called junks.
Okay.
Chinese boats.
Gotcha. Okay.
Somebody else roll me a d6.
Six.
Find that too. I'll let you describe it to the audience. It is a letter.
Looks like a letter to Jackson Elias from Harvard University in Cambridge.
These props are fucking fantastic, by the way. You folks can't see it, but like they've been stamped with like, they have actual stamps on them. They've been stamped like they've gone through the mail. They're on Harvard University letterhead.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing. so this is, yeah, it's from the library at Harvard. dated November 7th, 1924, obviously to Jackson Elias and Prospero House Publishers. Dear Mr. Elias, the book that about which you inquired is no longer in our collection. The information you seek may be found here in other volumes. If you will contact me upon arrival, I would be most happy to further assist you. Miriam Atwright, Harvard University Library.
Okay. You notice a few other books and things, but that's kind of what sort of attracts your attention. None of you may know this. Owen would definitely know if you bring it up, because Owen has been in such contact with Jackson Elias. The Prospero House is the publisher of all of Jackson Elias's books.
Right. Yes.
Mr. Young may also know that Jonah Kensington is the editor. He edited all of Elias's work.
This photo with the junks.
Yep.
Sybil isn't currently...
You two have come to by now.
Okay,
it's only a hysteria of approximately six rounds.
Just want to make it known there's no bump foil on this letter.
There is no bump foil. You are correct.
I was a little sad.
There aren't a lot of people that can do that. That's, I mean,
it's not embossed at all.
That's special work.
Yeah.
We know.
Continuing to look for information based on...
There's nothing else that you find immediately.
Okay.
Like I said, the place was ransacked and searched, so it wouldn't be a huge leap of faith to assume that stuff was taken.
Would it be inappropriate? Would it be inappropriate to think that he might still have some stuff in his bags from his travels?
Yes, you could find some bags with a few clothes, some notebooks, nothing that seems immediately useful. That stuff was tossed, though. So, I mean, his clothes are scattered all over the room. It looks like the bag was cut open with a blade and was gone through. Like I said, everything is in distress. The closet is open. Shit's thrown out on the bed. Like I said, bed has been flipped. Like, they searched this place thoroughly.
A decent idea to assume that they were looking for something that he brought back with him?
Could be. I mean, it's hard to tell at the moment. I'll give you guys... if there's anything you'd like to say together now, you all can join back in.
Christ, was that Humperdinck?
Mr. Owen... Do you have any idea where this picture may have been taken? Vaguely Oriental, but...
I don't know that Owen would have any experience having been anywhere near Southeast Asia. Nothing in your backstory would make me think that you would know.
I was just thinking anthropology role. Vaguely place those kinds of buildings with British architecture.
I mean... My assumption would be, is Hong Kong a thing?
Yeah, I believe Hong Kong is a city at this point.
But that'd be the only, like, British-controlled...
Yeah, I mean, you would know that. But other than that guess, just kind of like Troy, you're just guessing. You would have to know the exact location. It's not something that you would know. Obviously, anybody who... You can tell that the picture's modern, obviously. You've got a couple of steamers in there, I believe. You would know it is a modern photograph. It's not quite that size. It is over large, obviously, for the players as a player aid. Sort of like Jasmine said, for you to even place it definitively as a Chinese port, as an Indonesian port, as an Indian port, as an American or English port, you're just assuming the fact that you're seeing, what, six or seven junks in the photo, that it is probably Southeast Asia, but you have no idea for sure.
Do the buildings in the back look like they're Southeast Asian? Like, do they look, like, notably of...
So I'm getting Southeast Asian from what's in the foreground, which is thatch huts. Yeah,
I'm talking about...
Off the river.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, when I looked at the picture, I didn't think that the buildings in the back gave me any kind of...
Oh, I'm thinking Indonesia.
Okay.
It's one of the places that he mentioned offhand that Elias had been.
Okay.
And you're going to get that kind of British colonialism architecture in Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines maybe, Hong Kong's a good guess. You're going to get some of that imperial influence.
Just going off of what I know about your characters, none of you would have any of that sort of knowledge at hand. So it's much like the players around the table, it's just simple conjecture at this point.
I would bring up the correspondence to Harvard to everyone.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm just saying, you said this session might go slow.
Yes.
We're literally on the first scene.
It's a big scene. It's
there's a lot.
It's sort of exactly what this game is known for.
I would probably check Jackson to see if maybe he's clutching anything or has anything on his person.
Other than that look of abject terror, his throat may even be cut. Like, he was pretty destroyed. The body is unbelievably mangled.
Is that a circle with 6 points of indent? Like,
yes.
That's what it looks like to me.
It sort of is almost like 2 parentheses.
Yeah.
With like, 6, almost like a sun or something in the center.
Would we find that vaguely Egyptian? With the
would
Egyptology?
I?
Yeah, would.
There's. It's not hieroglyphics. It's
no,
not.
No.
It's definitely symbolic.
NYPD is about to show up, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a very well done photograph.
Like I said, the props in this are spot on. As I said, it is a very symmetrical marking. I actually want to give somebody something.
It was postmarked the same day?
No.
1924.
Yes. November 7th.
Yeah, it's postmarked November 7th.
It's postmarked and dated the same day.
Oh.
That means they made the morning mail.
As you punch your mic.
Shut up. I touched it with my thumb. Want me to try it again?
Please don't.
Sybil, make me a D100 roll.
Cool. Is this another luck roll?
I won't tell you, but you need to make a good roll.
Nope. 89.
The 89's not a good roll.
It's not going to make any of my stats.
At which point, 2 uniformed NYPD officers show up and sort of like, oh, shit. Don't anybody move.
Gentlemen?
Don't talk either.
He doesn't know me very well, does he?
The uniform guys are like, did you touch anything?
Close the window. That's about it.
Get away from the window. We're gonna check that for fingerprints. How about you all go, He's like, hey, Marty, how about you go watch him in the hallway? All right. He goes up there. All right, everybody, get back. We'll wait for the lieutenant to show up. All right, everybody, get back. And they start to corral some folks. They start to, I don't know that yellow tape would have been a point, it would have been at this point, but they are sort of doing something to that effect, whatever is appropriate for this time and
era. It might have been.
Speaking of which, side note, while Schroeder is tinkling, not that there's any reason for you to know this, but this book is chock full of interesting historical data. So a little bit on the NYPD, which came into existence with the amalgamation of the 5 boroughs in 1898. It was modeled on London's Metropolitan Police Force.
Scotland Yard.
Exactly. They were one of the most modern, and continue to be, obviously, one of the most modern police forces in the entire world. Historic landmarks in terms of the NYPD. They hired their first African-American police officer in 1911. He became the first African-American sergeant in 1926. The first female detective was in place by 1912. And its first African-American policewoman was put on patrol in 1920. By the end of the 20s, they also had their own motorcycle squad, automobile squad, and aviation unit.
Wow.
Which is like super impressive. There's no reason why you guys should know this at all, but I want to make sure that you get how rich these books actually are. That's awesome. After about 45 minutes, where any more than a few sentences between you is met with a shut up, wait for lieutenant, and move over there, and get out of the way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. More NYPD shtick. You see a heavyset man, the muscle of his youth beginning to turn to fat. He is dark complected, and brown hair, slicked back. He has a suit that is neat and well kept, but may fit poorly due to recent weight gain. He stands up, very sort of hard-nosed man, pulls out a pen and paper and says, folks, my name is Lieutenant Poole of the NYPD. I am a homicide detective. Can you please tell me in full, what you saw and how you came to be witnesses of this murder here.
The four of us were called here upon by Mr. Elias.
Is that the deceased?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We were asked to meet here. Mr. Elias, we knocked on the door. There was no response. We rang. We had someone come down and ring. No response. So we took on ourselves to enter the room.
Was there any sign or any reason why you should have entered the room?
I've never known Jackson Elias to be late to anything a day in his life. And he's calling us here.
Okay.
Yeah, he called us here specifically at this hour, so we figured something must be wrong. So we entered the room. It was dark, but the window was open, so we saw him on the floor, and I ran to the window and
saw... So no one passed you back out this door?
No.
Okay.
I saw three men running down the fire escape. Dressed, you said they were in suits?
Yeah, they were just in, I mean, something simple. Like, you know, just basic evening attire for the 1920s.
Yeah, they were dressed pretty average, you know, average wear. But they had some weird masks, bandana.
These men, were they black, white? Asian.
Two black men, one white man.
Okay. You see him writing these notes. They take off on foot. Car meet him. Grab a taxi.
Yeah, they ran down the fire escape and jumped in a black sedan and...
He snaps at one of the guys and tells him. He's like, go down there. I said, look around in the snow. See if you can find anything.
They took off and I point like the direction they left.
If you need reminded, it was a Hudson Roadster.
That was the car that was leaving as I went outside.
Did you get a license plate?
I don't know where New York came from, but that just came out.
I think I just found what your luck roll was for.
Remembering your accent?
Or the
That's
license,
a constant luck roll.
Or
on
the
show.
License plate.
No, he's
a little Ghostbusters.
I failed a lot of things.
Ghostbusters.
No license plate that I could see. But they headed off that way, and I'm going to point down the road, whichever mm-hmm. direction mm-hmm. they went.
All right. What'd you say his profession was?
Mr. Elias?
Author.
He's an author. Author of...
I've got my signed copy right here.
History.
History, huh? Uh-huh. Folklore?
All sorts.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Huh.
I love this group interrogation that's happening.
Are you familiar... are any of you familiar with a Dr. Lemming?
No, can't say that I am.
Okay.
Are those small things that get into your flour and such?
First name, Mordecai. Local guy.
No.
No? All right.
Doesn't go well.
He starts making more notes. You gotta know if he's got any business in Harlem. It's Elias.
No. Again, like he asked us to meet here. That was all the information we were really given. To meet him here tonight.
He only got back in the country a couple of days ago, but every time we
Where'd
tried
he come
to get
from?
In, couldn't tell you.
You would actually know that if you wanted to reveal it.
Is it England?
It's a British steamer.
It's a British steamer.
Yeah.
England, we believe.
Okay. He was on the Antonor, the MS Antonor.
Did he travel a lot?
He did.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But he's been in and out of the hotel the last 3 days.
One other note about the men that left, they were carrying a particular weapon.
Okay.
I believe it's called a pinga, maybe. It's a three-bladed African throwing axe.
Are you a specialty in these types of things?
Not necessarily. Weapons, I have some knowledge in anthropology and archaeology, so I recognize.
So were you associates with Mr. Elias? How do you all know Mr. Elias? The deceased. He wouldn't call him Mr. Elias because he doesn't necessarily know that he's Mr. Elias.
We've known him for just a handful of years. We met in Peru some years ago, and I've kind of been in contact since, but I wouldn't say we were super close.
Well, I invited him to my wedding. In fact, I invited all of you. Funny, none of you arrived.
I got lost in the mail.
Didn't get the invite.
I wasn't in the country. Sorry.
Would any of you happen to know... do any of you happen to know if he had any contact with a man named Hilton Adams?
Perhaps my name was spelled wrong.
again, the name doesn't ring a bell.
Lucas?
Yes.
Can we int roll for any of these?
My, I'm working on it.
You about to give me a roll for Mafia check? Is that what we're doing?
There's a great new game idea. Roll for Mafia.
I mean, I ran a Mafia thing a while back.
I feel like it would be all out of bubblegum related.
Did you write down names?
Did I write down names?
You weren't.
Did I write down? Of course I wrote down names.
You weren't still writing, so that's why I was.
Mordecai Lemming, Harlem, and Hilton Adams. Did I write down names?
Harlem wasn't a name, it's a place.
I'm aware.
Could be both.
But it's a name of a place.
Fair.
He asked if he'd been down in Harlem.
Yeah. Never met her.
Hey, that's a cunnilingus joke.
I said in.
Yep.
Not on. Yep. Either way.
Same difference.
Okay, it's a sexy joke. I mean, just how often do you get to use the word cunnilingus? You don't. You don't. And it's such a fun word to say, too. It's a very specific word for a very specific act.
I'm also a cunning linguist.
Ha ha!
Well played, sir.
Sorry, looking up a little bit.
I mean, I know two languages, three languages at least.
When did you go on your, Lucas, when did you go on your Thoreau-esque thing? From when to when?
Sorry, we're in 25, so it would have been around a year ago. So late 23, early 24.
Late 23 to early 24?
Yeah.
Roll me.
You spent 2 years paying off your debt?
No.
No, he paid it off.
So since early 24, you've been in the city?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a D100 roll.
57.
Okay.
That was a thumbs down.
Don't just say that's a bad roll. All right. Lieutenant Poole continues to ask you a bunch of questions. I assume that he sees the stuff that you're holding. Did you attempt to hide it from him?
I would definitely attempt to hide the Harvard letter. I mean, as so much to like stow it before they got there.
Okay.
If I could.
Would you like to make me some sort of roll? There is a hide. There is a conceal.
I know.
It's called stealth.
There is actually not a conceal any longer.
I think everything's under stealth now.
Or sleight of hand.
There's no hide? There is a sleight of hand.
There is a sleight of hand. You're correct.
There is no conceal. There is no hide.
May I sleight of hand the photograph?
Sure. Go ahead. Make a roll.
Can I make a preparedness roll so that way?
Can I spend points of preparedness?
Are you kidding me?
Fate die.
Well, I missed the stealth by one.
Push your luck.
Push your luck.
And by push
I missed the sleight of hand by 15.
No.
You want to spend some luck?
Push your luck.
No!
You got it.
It is sticking out of her collar just a little bit. There's is a little that, photograph.
Is that... Can I see that, ma'am?
Are you asking a lady for her personal items that she keeps within her brassiere?
Is a member of the NYPD asking someone who is a witness and a possible suspect of what they may have on their person? Yes, I am. He's got gloves on. Picture shows that they wear gloves. I don't know if they wear gloves in this era, but I'm assuming they wear something.
Well, it wouldn't have been rubber, probably just white gloves.
That's not what the picture shows.
Well, fingerprinting started in 1890s, so.
So sure. He.
Way to go, Sherlock.
He takes a look at it.
When did they make vinyl gloves?
I don't know.
Probably was kid.
I mean, they probably weren't rubber gloves, but I'm sure they had some kind of, they weren't just white gloves.
Was this found here in the room?
Brought it with me.
Fast talk?
Charm?
Fast talk?
That is a 19 out of 5.
As Jasmine continues to dig herself a hole.
You really do well with police officers so far in this game.
Fantastic. Last game, too.
You're saying he's a world traveler, right? Any idea why this picture might mean something to him?
Not a clue.
Can't make out where the picture's from.
Okay.
Looks oriental.
He hands it to someone at the PD.
Might be related to why he all asked us here. That's why I had it.
I see. Anything else? Anything else that you all ran into?
All I'm saying is, if we find out what brought him to the city, not just what got him killed, we'd be very happy to know. As interested parties, as your discoverers. And by the way, you can check with the bellboy downstairs that we only just arrived and would have no way to have been at all part of this little shenanigans that happened.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be checking with him.
The latex glove was invented in 1889.
There you go.
But was it disposable?
Yes.
And when did it go into mass production?
I don't know. It was created by a surgeon.
Cut for the very first time.
Your mom.
Thank you.
Troy, make me a hard credit reading. Jasmine did this to you.
Thanks.
On the money.
Boom!
So as you're talking, he kind of looks and he says, well, I wonder if that means that the Adams case is going to be reopened since we got another body.
Did you say Adams?
Yes.
Hilton Adams?
Yes.
Any connection to Lemming?
No.
Anything to do with Adams being found in Harlem?
Adams lived in Harlem. Are you, he would have gotten your name, so you're not from around here.
Just arrived on this morning's train.
Convenient.
I'm from around here.
She pulls out.
He would have gotten your address.
She pulls out her train stub.
It's very convenient.
To be fair, we've probably met before.
You've met the Manhattan police? Homicide detectives? If you.
You see him circle your name as if he's going to go back to the station house.
If you need verification, my Lady Mabel.
Is this murder similar to another one you've seen recently?
Yes, there were a number of spree killings about a year or two ago. Is that right? Oh, sorry. This would be the 9th murder victim in the last 2 years.
So nine with similar MOs, essentially?
Yes. Similar bodies found all over the city.
With the same marking on the head, even?
Yes.
Have you discovered at all what it means? Or any connection between them?
Well, according to Dr. Lemming, who's a local folklore guy, he believes it's linked to an African death cult.
Wasn't there a book of Mr. Elias's that had to do with African death cults?
You tell me.
Perhaps we need to go find a copy. Perhaps it might behoove the NYPD to go look up a copy.
The Black Power.
Poole just continues to stare at Sybil. Right now, both Sybil and Cecil are clearly on his shit list. He seems to mostly be revealing a lot of this information to Owen, who's been very forthright.
I now would point out that book, and, you know, I would think that I would at least know its contents pretty well. I mean, I guess reading, if I read that book, would I connect that book with markings like this, or the weapon that you used, or anything?
I mean, you know of the Penga. This particular mark, you're not sure of. It could be in his books, but you don't remember anything like that. I mean, obviously, you are in New York City. There are some of the premier libraries of the world in, you know, blocks away from you. It's nothing you know of instantly. It could be something small, but it's not necessarily something that you recall from Jackson's books, but you've read Elias's books over a number of years. Maybe there's something there, but nothing that strikes you immediately.
Remind me, Jackson was educated at Harvard?
No.
Okay.
No,
he was self-educated.
Okay.
Oh, Jackson?
Yeah.
I think so.
No, that's what it said. That's what it says on there.
Oh.
It says mainly self-educated. I don't know that it necessarily...
I don't remember in any of the information I've read about Jackson Elias that he has a specific college education. I can look to know for sure, but I definitely don't think he was Harvard educated.
Not Harvard, but I thought he made mention of being educated essentially in the Massachusetts area. I thought
he made mention of it when Cecil announced that he was. Maybe that's what I'm mixing up. Maybe it's just Cecil talking about being from Boston.
Might have been.
I took it that he maybe attended Arkham or something.
No, not that any of the information that I'm seeing. Does he have a college education?
Okay.
He is a learned man, obviously, but like you said, I think a lot of it was self-taught and discovery. Lieutenant Poole questions you for a little longer, just kind of routine stuff. So far, your story checks out. Make sure that you folks don't leave town. We'll definitely have some more questions for you. Otherwise, you folks have a good night.
Would you mind, where could I find Dr. Lemming?
You see him flip through his notebook. He gives you an address. Dr. Lemming's address is the Murray Hill Hotel, East 40th Street and Park Avenue.
I know the place.
I think I saw it.
You very folks, you folks planning on talking to Dr. Lemming then?
If you had any connection to our friend here.
Hey, let me warn you, whatever is going on here is not to be messed around with. I'd advise you folks, be careful with what you're looking into.
I can definitely appreciate the severity of what's going on. I just simply, just want to find a little bit of information out. You know, obviously our friend here, you know, was murdered, so just...
Yeah, I think that, given his background, I wonder if he was murdered because of something he knew. So maybe you folks shouldn't be doing so much digging. Let's just say...
It's quite all right. I don't know much.
Full stop.
Well, if we gain some clairvoyance that might help you with your case, I'm sure we'll pass it along.
You do that. Stay safe out there. It's cold. There's more snow on the way. He kind of tips his hat and ushers you out of the room.
So all we still have with us is the letter.
Yes. I'll leave the photograph over there if you want to take a look at it. But yes, at the moment, you don't have that evidence. Assuming it's evidence. You all go home? Go where? Go do what?
Stiff drink.
Speakeasy is fine.
I think I know a place.
As do I.
You could also, obviously, the nightlife this in Manhattan in this era is, I mean, this is you're literally in the middle of the Harlem Renaissance. So Harlem is the place for speakeasies and nightlife. So it's probably about 11 o'clock at night, but you could easily find a club playing jazz music. You could find some place to smoke. Lucas, you probably have enough local knowledge that if you wanted to find a speakeasy, you folks could go for a drink. So you go to Harlem then?
That's where we need to go.
If you want to go, that's
time,
fine.
What time is it?
I'd say it's about 11 o'clock at night by now.
You want to go this late or we want to go in the morning?
It's 45 minutes for... pool to get there, and then he was going to give you one heck of a bullshit meeting.
And we were meeting at 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah. We were meeting kind of late, so.
Cops get there by 8:15. Lieutenant Poole gets there at 9. It's not unlikely that he kept you for at least an hour and a half. So yeah. Say 10:30. 11 o'clock by the time you get to Harlem through the snow and the ice and everything else and get to a speakeasy.
Sure.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
There's music. Dancing. It is fairly revelrous and completely the complete antithesis to everything you experienced for the last several hours.
Our title track, Ideathesia, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their EP, Catharsis. Find more of their music at sleepfortheweary.com. Introduction compiled from Nyarlathotep by H.P. Lovecraft. Like what you heard? Hear more episodes at rancorsbrothel.com. Join the conversation on Facebook with the Rancors Brothel and on Twitter at rancors_brothel. Send comments to the rancorsbrothel@gmail.com. Discover exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel by becoming a patron of our podcast. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, listeners. See you next time.